I don't.
Good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 15th, 2020 meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. Christian is not here tonight. The rest of the members of the board are here, and we do have a quorum. I'd like to make an announcement that last night the City Council selected two more members to the board, and they will be seated at the February meeting. It's Doug Rogers and Mike Whitlock. Are there any other announcements by the board members? John?
None for me.
I noticed that the office hours for the Public Works were changed. It was interesting when I showed up at, after 3 o'clock to pick up an agenda.
Yes, the office hours for both community development and public works are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. I believe that's posted to our website, and there, I think there's a sign on the door, but we don't have the secret knock down yet, so
okay.
We're working on that. To
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, Jan, do you have any?
No.
Okay. First item on the agenda is the election of the chair and the vice chair for the next year. Are there any nominations or anyone that's interested in being the chair or the vice chair for next year? Okay, right now, I'm fine with continuing as the chair. Is Jan, are you okay for vice chair?
Yeah, vice chair.
Okay. Then
any other nominee?
Any other nominee? Okay. Would either of you like to make a motion to that?
I move to continue Rick Deschler as chairman, and I move that Jan Goldman become the
vice chair. I'll second those two movements.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we retain these positions. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Okay. Now we're in the public comment period. Any members of the public that would like to address the Public Works Advisory Board at this time for items that are not on the agenda may step forward now and do so. Seeing none, we'll bring the meeting back to the board. First item on the agenda is the consent. Item A1, approval of minutes of November 20th, 2019. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No, I move that we accept them as written. I move that we accept the minutes as written.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. First item under the business items, B1, is the director's report. I will pass this on to Rob to make his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations on the election. Also to you, Jan. First off, I want to introduce a new staff person sitting up here at the clerk's table. Amy Mills is a new administrative person in Public Works, started a week ago with us, and you'll be seeing her at these meetings when we need to have a clerk here. So thank you, Amy, for coming down, and that's the first thing I wanted to say. I don't have any particular items to highlight. We do have a new roof on our building with new hours, so we can survive the winter this year without leaks coming into the building. So Our maintenance folks worked with a local roofer, SenCal Roofing, to remove the solar arrays and put on a membrane system, roof system on the building. I will pass it on to my colleagues here to see if they have any items they want to highlight, starting with Joe or Mike. Do you have anything that you want to highlight?
I don't.
Okay. Damaris? Okay. Joe?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to draw the members' attention to is we actually started with our cleaning system. I have a couple pictures there of the hydro cleaning of some roots on Main Street. This has been a problem line for us identified. We actually, I want to give kind of kudos to some assistance we got from the LA County Sanitary District, basically on some new dot nozzle ideas and design. And this is actually, those two pictures are actually before and after of the cleaning. So pretty impressive cleaning nozzle that that we got a lot of assistance in selecting, doing a great job. City purchased a camera truck about a year and a half ago, and it's allowing us to basically verify the work that we're actually doing out there. So pretty exciting stuff. I know our collection crew was really excited about the way it worked and the end results, and I just wanted to point that out.
In the engineering area, I just want to highlight we have a couple of RFPs on the street, a long time coming. It came out of our One Water Plan. So we have an RFP out for water system improvements in and around the Nutmeg pressure zone that will involve replacement of the Nutmeg tank, elimination of the Vashon booster station, rework of the Elena Street booster station, including adding probably a booster chlorination station there or chloramination station there, and associated piping. Then on the wastewater side, we're looking at mainline upgrades along Beachcomber Street and Main Street and Atascadero Road. Those were the problem areas that were the high priority in the analysis of our system. And then some, we have a budgetary placeholder for kind of miscellaneous I&I improvements. We're going to work with the consultant to identify projects to put out to bid with those miscellaneous projects. So we're looking to award a contract near the middle of next month and start to work on those two major capital projects in March. And happy to answer any questions on the remainder of the director's report.
Okay, thank you very much, Rob, and the rest of the staff. Jan, do you have any questions of the staff report?
I do.
Director's report.
On page 14 on the Roses Up Landing Upstairs Hotel in Plan Check, I haven't been aware of this going through the council like the other items like the one at Under the Sea and that big renovation they're going to be doing. Is that because this is just adding something to the upstairs and not changing the rest of the building?
Which project? I'm sorry.
You know, the one Under the Sea and...
Okay, and so Rose's Landing project?
Oh, I'm talking about Rose's Landing. It just is in Plan Check, but I haven't heard about it. I haven't been, you know, the other ones I've been aware that they have been submitted plans to the City Council or to the Planning Commission about the changes they're going to do, but has this one done that?
Yes.
Is it just because they're just remodeling the upstairs and not doing the whole building?
I believe this is the first phase of it, so they're just doing a minor remodel of the upstairs before they start the major project.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't make sense. Remodel the upstairs and then do a major project.
It might take a while to get through the process, the planning process, so it'll make it more viable for...
Okay, so this it makes it sound like this is going to be speeding right along, and the other one down the street is taking has been several years in the process, and that's what I was questioning.
Okay.
But you're saying this is just getting started.
This is just getting started.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. John?
Actually, I remember roses coming through the planning. I look at the planning agenda occasionally, and it's almost, it's been more than a year that it's been percolating through the planning department that for this thing there. They are, you know, gutting the first floor, and they're basically are gutting both floors, from what I can tell.
Yes. Yes, but there's a larger development project also there.
Yeah. But it's been percolating around for a couple of years.
The one that used to have the cannery, the restaurant, or the off-the-hook restaurant, that's the bigger one I was talking about. Seems like it's been going for years and years and years, and this one I didn't see. That was my question.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Okay. Any other questions on the report, Jan?
The other one on 535 Atascadero Road with public improvements. What's at 535 Atascadero Road right now? Is that Miners?
It's across the street from Miners. It's a vacant piece of property that they're doing a lot split. So they have it's a two parcel subdivision there. So there's an existing home on it and then a vacant piece. So they're dividing it so to make it more developable as a requirement of the subdivision, public improvements are required there. So there are curb gutter, sidewalk, a water main extension.
Oh, okay. And then the power plant battery energy storage system, is that, where is that point coming? Is that just at the beginning process?
That's at the beginning of the process. There have been no planning commission meetings on that yet. The planning department and public works are going through their submittal. It will probably take a couple of rounds of plan check before they're ready to go to Planning Commission.
Thank you, Rob.
And when you're talking about roses, just want to correct myself. I was thinking of the project next door that is the major. John is correct, and the roses portion has already gone through Planning Commission. And I was thinking of
the Under the Sea Gallery and the
yes
and the Off the Hook the restaurant,
right?
So is okay, then Mike, back to this question. So is Rose's just doing adding an upstairs or redoing the upstairs?
They're redoing the upstairs. It was determined through the lease process with them that the restaurant use is not a viable use upstairs, so they're converting that to hotel use.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go to John next.
I have a few questions. Let's see if I can find them where I noted them. Service requests. It's curious. It looks like you've got 40 service requests completed, work orders completed, 129. Do we have a backlog of work orders and service requests?
Yes, there's a huge backlog, probably 220 to 230 work orders. Service requests have all been converted into work orders. I'd say probably 60% of those are potholes requests.
Okay. I know I've added my share of those pothole things I've seen. Where was it? I noticed that someone was doing some repair on the sewer treatment plant, and they had mentioned O&M for wastewater treatment. What's a waddle? WADDLE. I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, it's just for to retain back the stormwater, the silt that goes in. So it's just the little straw bales that are about 6 inches round.
I used to spec them as wattles with T.
Oh. With T's, yes.
Sorry, I must have misspelled it.
Yeah, it's all right. Sounds like spell check.
Spell check won't catch that one.
That's right.
I had a question about your hydro cleaning. What is the cycle for cleaning the sewer mains? I know you've mentioned it before, and I can't pull it to mind.
We try to do the entire system every 2 years.
So
we also have hot spots that we identify that we do quarterly.
Okay, and then for video inspection of the main lines, is there an annual cycle for the video inspection?
There's not an annual cycle for that. We video inspect our hot spots that we have identified every year to see if there's been any changes in condition, and then anywhere that we have experienced either slow flow or a backup, we go out and video inspect. And then routinely, we video inspect somewhere around 2,000 feet a month. So is what our goal is. So typically older sections of town, try and identify stuff ahead of time. But at present, I don't have a goal to try and get through the system in a certain amount of time.
Okay. And I'm looking at this video. Is that... After cleaning, there's a picture of, I guess, the nozzle is spraying the, so it's a picture of the nozzle doing its work?
Yeah, that is correct. So we actually, from the upstream manhole, we actually had the camera in, and we just followed the nozzle as it got pulled back, cleaning the line, just to see what type of job it did.
What sort of pressure does it put, is the water coming out at?
All the nozzles run at different pressures. I couldn't tell you what this one's actually currently running at.
Is there any possibility that it might damage some of the older VCP?
So that is a great question. That is exactly why we run it at different pressures and different nozzles. So depending on the type of pipe that we're actually putting it in, that's how we're running it.
Okay. So you got either PVC or... vitrified clay, asbestos cement. Are you still have some of that?
Not on the wastewater system. I don't believe there's any still out in that system.
RCP?
Maybe a little bit of RCP, a few sticks of ductile that are, or cast that are still in the system.
Okay. Let's see. So I noticed, so the RFP for Nutmeg, I remember reading about that. So that's, do you expect that one to come in? What sort of engineering estimate do they have on that? Is there one listed for the?
So our budgetary estimate, I believe, for the initial phase of the engineering on that is a couple hundred thousand dollars for that work. To be accomplished. So this is a professional services contract, so we'll select the most qualified consultant and negotiate a fee on that.
What's the actual construction estimated on? Is it going to be
upwards of $5 million for all those improvements there?
Okay. So do you have any plans for North Point?
North Point, we are reassessing the bids that we received on these small jobs. The last few that we've done have been double our estimates. So we're reassessing what we can accomplish in-house as opposed to having that work contracted, perhaps going with a different style lighting system, relooking at solar for that one light so we don't have to put more conduit in the ground. And then the fencing was, not quite as high as the lighting was, it still seemed rather high for 40, 50 feet of fence, and when we were supplying most of the materials to have those bids come in, upwards of $4,000 to do that work. So
you guys might buy an auger for the back of a tractor then?
We actually have an auger bit, a couple auger bits for our skid steer. So as time is available, it's pretty rocky out there in North Point, so we're going to do some investigation to see whether we can auger post holes out there for the fencing.
Okay, and I'm assuming that that bocce ball court is on hold until you figure out.
Actually, bocce ball is now probably proceeding forward as a joint volunteer city staff project. We've had the pastor from Estero Community Church in Los Osos approach us asking for a project. He has a couple of parishioners that are contractors that we're looking for volunteer work to do. So we'll probably do, city staff will do the grading work and work cooperatively with those contractors on, you know, installation of the curbs and pavers, gravity retaining wall that will go in.
I had a good friend put in a bocce ball court, and I was just wondering what sort of surface are you planning?
Ideally, it'll be crushed oyster shells. I think that's the surface of choice for bocce ball. It'll be DG with a dusting of oyster shell dust.
Local oyster
shell? I don't know.
How's the conceptual plan for the cloisters coming?
We've looked at the conceptual plan, walked it with some of the community members, and are probably going to downsize that work to take advantage of work that our crew has already done out there. They've done quite a bit of work in thinning out some of the existing vegetation, removing some of the dead material. So there's no reason to really replace the good stuff there. So look at a slightly smaller project and not a wholesale gutting of the medians there. But we'll be coming to mid-year with a budget request for that capital project to fund at least the first portion of the median work to get that going.
What's the plans for the duck pond?
Don't have a really good plan for the pond yet. It's difficult to eradicate reeds without getting rid of the rhizomes under there. So we're working with our fish and game permitting agencies to come up with a good method other than just trimming them at the waterline and having them grow back. Seems like thicker every year to get in there with perhaps a piece of equipment to remove the rhizome root structure that exists there. But it will require some sort of permitting from Fish and Game.
What's Fish and Game?
California Department.
Yeah, well, I know that.
I'm sorry.
What are they usually willing to approve for things like that?
We'll just have to see through the season, we can get the water level down low enough to kind of work in the dry area. They're concerned about California red-legged frog in that particular location will be an issue there.
Well, you can tell them that the California red-legged frog is the reason that whatever that Superfund site just north of Vandenberg is. Casmalia is being delayed because the red-legged frog likes the hazardous waste ponds. Let's see. What sort of frontage improvements are you going to do on 405 and 535 Atascadero?
Curb gutter sidewalk and a water main extension.
What about the existing house? Are you going to catch them this time, or are they?
They'll be required. It's part of the subdivision, so there's a requirement for all the lots within the subdivision to have the frontage improvements in that zoning district. I believe R4 zoning, multifamily zonings in Morro Bay require full frontage improvements.
And what? Which is a motel there on the far side, Tascadero? The hotel developed northwest corner of Tascadero Road. How's that coming along? Are they figuring out what they're going to do now, or is that one?
I think the project is in their court. They're looking at.
Closer to the mic. Yeah.
They're looking at height issues there. And the requirement to underground utilities. They're working with the utility to see what is actually feasible to underground there. I don't believe PG&E wants the primary undergrounded in that location.
Okay. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay, Tori. Do you have questions?
Just a couple. As far as the Cloisters development, was it ever resolved the kind of vegetation to put in along, below the Highway 1 there, and not to put in trees to block the view, that kind of thing? Was that ever resolved? I remember talking about that a few months ago.
Yes, the plan was... modified to have more shrubby material there rather than trees along there. Likely that would be one of the later phases of this rehab work. So might be a few years before we see that work.
Another question is on page 11 of 15, the wastewater treatment, and a picture of the hauling off the sludge biosolids. What volume did you take off this year, and where did that go to? Did that go off to the San Joaquin Valley or something?
Yeah, it goes to Liberty Composting out in the valley. So they actually compost and then apply it to farm fields.
Mm-hmm. And was that just one truck's worth or a couple trucks?
No, it's actually about six trucks worth.
Six trucks.
Is what they do.
Yeah,
they can get it out in about 2 days. So.
And that's 1 year's worth of biosolids?
That is a full year's worth of biosolids production at the current treatment facility.
So that's...
We haul it off at about 80% solids. We actually have to wet it down to prevent the dust.
And maybe, Rob, could you just explain the battery project at the power plant? I mean, is that a private contractor proposing to do some kind of facility there?
Yes. So that project is proposed to be behind the existing building and between the PG&E substation and the existing power plant area. It'll be, I believe it's around 250 megawatt facility.
Having a battery that has that capacity?
It's many thousands or hundreds of small batteries wired together, each in its own containment, each with its own fire protection system. That's one of the big concerns with the lithium batteries is fire. So our fire department went, there's a the company Vistra Energy has a project in Moss Landing that has this battery, so they went to visit with the fire department up there and toured that site to see what it looks like. So it will tie into the existing grid connection there, and the reason they want to do it is probably it makes them some money, but the The other reason is with California's emphasis on solar, wind, renewable energy resources, those are good while the sun's shining and when the wind's blowing, but there's not a real good storage mechanisms for that besides the battery. So these battery facilities are going in at Oakland Power Plant, Moss Landing, and Morro Bay. Those are the three that I know of, perhaps other locations throughout the state.
Okay.
I had a question. That brought up a question. There's a new technology for batteries using iron. Have they addressed that potential of using? Apparently, it's not as explosive as
lithium. I believe there's two battery technologies that they're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. It may be the one that you're referring to that is the other one that they're manganese iron system.
Yeah, like
seems
that.
To ring a bell to me, but I'm not the staff person that's doing that planning level review, so I read through the report once, but I can't recall exactly what the battery technology is that they're using there.
Okay. Thanks.
One thing I forgot to highlight when I was going through some engineering projects is we have executed a contract with Pavement Engineering, and they've started their assessment of the streets and will be doing revisions to our pavement management plan. In the interview process with PEI, one of the suggestions is to take another look at the thin overlay to add that back into the mix, because they've had good success in bidding that method of pavement rehab against the triple layer cape seal. The advantage with the thin overlay is you're actually adding asphalt to the street, and you're ending up with more of a wearing surface there.
What thickness?
Thin overlay, probably an inch. So we're talking fairly small aggregate size, so probably 3/8 inch aggregate in the mix.
And this summer, what time are you planning on having the actual pavement contract awarded?
We're looking to have the assessment done mid to late February. Then we prepare the bid doc. So April, May, June is when it's suggested we probably will get a good bidding environment. Also, giving contractors the flexibility to construct, do those improvements within a longer window, giving them a certain amount of days, but within a larger window, might yield better prices in the current bidding environment.
Okay. Okay, back to Tori.
One last question is just your remarks about putting on the new roof to the Public Works building and taking off and then putting back on the solar panels. There is a plan by the city to have more solar panels installed on buildings and so forth. I know there's an option with the WRF to have solar power out there as well, but is there an overall plan for solar panels on building city buildings, and you know where are we on that plan in terms of percentage completed?
Mike is our energy expert, and I'm going to have him answer the question. He worked a lot with the state and the very PG&E on determining where it made sense to install solar and where we get the biggest bang for the buck on that.
So yeah, we've audited all of our roof space. From police department has solar panels, community is center has solar panels, Public Works, City Hall, and of course this building, the Vets Hall. Those are all of our largest roofs and all of our most the best facing to work with, the best angle and the best location for sun exposure. Roofs like we have at the fire department are not conducive to solar panels. It's an architectural mix of shapes and angles. As I recall, none of the smaller roofs, i.e. restrooms, maybe well sheds, We don't have solar panels on those very small structures. It's not cost effective to buy an inverter for one or two panels, at least when we first did the audit of our roof space. So we've pretty much maximized our footprint. We did enroll in a program, RESBCT. I wish I could tell you what those stand for right now today. I don't. But we've overpopulated our roof space. Typically, PG&E, I think, allows you a 10% overage of production from what the historical usage is for this building. We have 90 panels up on this roof, which is well beyond the consumption of this facility. And we were able to, on paper at least, transport that excess energy to our other facilities. The parks, Lila Kaiser is a big user of electricity for the field lights, but there's no roof space for solar. So some of the energy produced here is, on paper, used to pay the bill at these other locations.
How much of the bill do they pay or offset, would you say?
Once I got past the installation phase, it's all been turned over to finance, but we can certainly dig into that and see what.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
See how it balances.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. That's good.
Okay. I only have a couple questions. Back on the for Joe for the cleaning of the pipes. The hot spot site are done quarterly. Is that primarily roots or is that material that's added to the pipelines?
It's actually could be a combination of both. So some of the hot spots may be on the list because it has a sag or something in the line that generates settling. Other ones can be because of roots, could be because of some slight separation or settling in the line that is allowing, you know, dirt to get into the line and take up capacity. So it's multiple factors that could create an issue that would be on the hotspot list.
Let's see, on page 7 where they talked about the graffiti problem, and it mentioned that the person that did the graffiti was eventually arrested and restitution was being sought. Did that graffiti happen to be the one that was known as Sicko that I've seen around the community, or was that a different person?
No, you're correct in that assumption. And I don't know that all of the locations have been removed yet, so please, if you see another one, report it to us.
Okay, are these only on public property, or does that also include private property that they're working on? Because I noticed behind Spencer's, there's two or three large Sicko graffitis.
I'm certain this individual made it across all boundaries to all different properties. We don't do maintenance or repairs on public property. But it's possible, too, that the management of that facility isn't aware of what's going on in the back lot. Maybe they haven't seen the artwork, as some would call it. But
they would just need to check with the police department if they want to have that cleaned up by or restitution.
The police department, I'm certain, would want to know about it. And I'm not certain how it pans out from there, but I do believe that private residences, private businesses are eligible for restitution in these cases, too. And that's not my forte, but... I think if they were to put a value to it, they could certainly add it to the current list of offenses.
Great. Thank you very much. That's all the questions that I have. Are there any last-minute questions on the director's report? Okay. Seeing none, then we will go to item B2, the water reclamation facility program update. Now that the committee has been dissolved that dealt with WRFCAC, some of this material is going to fall into our purview. So have at it.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Board members, this item is to give a brief overview of where we are on the Morro Bay Wharf project, because future technical items will be coming to Public Works Advisory Board to gather input on. We have Mr. Rogers, Doug Rogers, out in the audience, who previously served on the WRFCAC board, who will be joining you on the dais at future meetings once he get sworn in by our city clerk. So next meeting, there will be another WRF item that we'll be bringing forward to you. I have a brief presentation that has now gone out of presentation mode. Let me correct that. I'll be right back. So this project has been around for quite some time. I've been working in it in one form or another for my 13 years with the city of Morro Bay, starting when it was going to be a rehab project of the existing site, and as it moved forward through the site selection process and where we're at right now with building a new facility out off of South Bay Boulevard and the conveyance system that reaches it. But, you know, some of the things that this project will do is, you know, relocation of the facility to avoid coastal hazards. We've had over 50 public meetings since 2017 on this project. It will provide a sustainable water supply for future generations in Morro Bay. We've established new rates, and they're comparable or less than our neighboring coastal neighbors. It'll improve the treatment level that when we do discharge to the ocean, that water quality will be increased as going to the ocean. And it's supported by members of the community, elected officials, state and federal agencies. Project overview. So we're looking at several components to the overall WRF program. We have a facility site. Down here off of South Bay Boulevard, a conveyance pipeline that goes from near the existing wastewater treatment plant on Atascadero Road, paralleling the bike path, jumping on Quintana Road all the way out to South Bay Boulevard. Forgive the shaky hand as I aim the laser. And to the WRF site. Two new pump stations here at Pump Station B, which is located on the city-owned property next to Lemos. Pump Station A in the existing city courtyard. If perhaps from past tours, you remember the park shed right near the entrance of the courtyard. That's where that lift station will be. They will rehab the force main that goes from lift station 2, which is on the Embarcadero, and pump that into the collection system near pump station B to basically avoid the pumping all the way down to the wastewater plant, then pumping it back this way. So those are the major components of the project. Zooming in to the WRF site itself, as you may recall over the years, since 2013, we looked at 17 different sites and settled on this site here, off of South Bay Boulevard, Teresa Drive, Bayside Care, Casa de Flores, the still vacant 10-lot subdivision next door, and then the WRF site here. The city limits line is about right here, so this is outside the city limits in San Luis Obispo County. It's also outside the area of coastal hazard, and they at its location, there's minimum aesthetic impacts. The design drawings from the 30% design are here showing the layout of the facility. So, the admin building here, lay down and storage area for various water, wastewater equipment, vehicles here. The treatment process proper is really in the back portion of the site, with the headworks at the furthest back portion, then running through the MBR system, and then into the advanced treatment in this area here. It's based on a facilities master plan completed in 2016 and prepared by Black & Veatch Engineers. Also, contains components that were in our master water reclamation plan, prepared in 2017 and revised by Corolla Engineers in 2019. And this is the delivery mechanism that we're using to construct this is a design build. And you all may recall the award of contract to Black & Veatch Feelance, or Feelance Black & Veatch, as the contractor and designer of this project. So Feelance is a construction company out of near San Diego, and Black & Veatch, of course, is worldwide with their headquarters in Kansas City. But this is operated out of their Walnut Creek office, Joe, I think? Yeah, Walnut Creek office. Flow process diagram. Raw wastewater coming in kind of through the top here, exiting out the bottom here. This is when we discharge the ocean. It doesn't go through the advanced water treatment, so no RO, no UV, just tertiary treatment, disinfection, and then dechlorination, and then discharge. When it does go through the advanced treatment, there are RO membranes and then the advanced AOP process is disinfection or high strength hypochlorite and UV that we get the pathogen reduction from. We'll have a product water storage tank, and then ultimately into a groundwater injection system. And let me go back a couple of slides here. That's one thing I forgot to point out. The injection wells are proposed at this time to be located either near the Lila Kaiser ball fields on the Vistra Energy property on this side, or off of Atascadero Road near the Miners Silver City Mobile Home Park on this side. And we'll be confirming that with some hydrogeological analysis in the next few weeks. Here is a conceptual layout, way it would look from, I don't think there's a hill that we can sit on that would actually give us this view. Maybe a drone position right here. It's close to the hill. It's the neighbor, but the bulk of the kind of conventional wastewater treatment is back in this area. The advanced treatment is here. The kind of the utilities operations center, maintenance center, is down in this area where we'll have equipment and vehicles and material storage. And then the admin operation building is near the front of the site, the closest to kind of the public interaction. And feel free to stop me at any time if you have any questions on these slides. So, as we go through them. Looking at the conveyance system, as I highlighted in that overview slide, there are two new pump stations being proposed. Pump station A at the existing Corp Yard site. Pipeline will go east on Atascadero Road to the southbound Highway 1 ramp area. It'll go in the shoulder of the ramp. Excuse me. Shoulder of the ramp till about Morrow Creek. It'll cross back onto the easement that we're acquiring from Vistra, go over Morrow Creek on a pipe bridge, then go down the bike path till we intersect with Main Street, cross Main Street to Quintana Road, and then Quintana Road all the way to the South Bay Boulevard, and then northerly to the wharf site. Pump station B is being designed to have the appearance of the neighboring building, so it looked like maybe a mini Limos next door there. Also contained in this pipeline corridor will be the brine and outfall line that will take either brine from the advanced treatment process or tertiary treated disinfected wastewater to the ocean outfall and be discharged offshore. Also, the potable reuse line will take advanced treated purified wastewater back to the groundwater injection areas. The main reason for two pump stations is it's more efficient and less energy costs. We're also able to not pump the wastewater twice. We can intercept some of this gravity flow and get it to pump station B and pump it to the wastewater treatment plant rather than having it go down to lift station 2 and be pumped to lift pump station A and then pumped back to the wastewater treatment plant. So it's really for multiple purposes, smaller pump sizes, and being able to save energy by routing our wastewater in this manner. We also have lift station 3 down here near Quintana and South Bay Boulevard. That will basically be replumbed to pump into the line that goes directly to the wharf rather than pumping it back to the wastewater treatment plant and then lift station or pump station A and then pumping it back to the wharf site.
Say that again.
That was pretty confusing.
Lift station 3.
So lift station 3 is located here. Currently it pumps to the high point on Quintana. Gravity flows down to it goes to lift station 2 eventually, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, there's another. The next slide has actually lift station 3 identified on the map.
Yeah. Okay.
That might, because I can't see the your dot up there. Yeah.
Thank you. So.
And those directional arrows help too.
Yes. So again, pump station A, new pump station near the existing wastewater treatment plant in the Corp Yard. Conceptually, this is what it will look like there. That receives the water, wastewater from the sewer shed that is shaded red or kind of a pink color. That wastewater gets pumped to pump station B and then pumped to the wharf site. The area within the yellow flows by gravity to pump station B and then is pumped to the wharf site. The area in the bluish flows by gravity to lift station 2, and then that is pumped kind of through the existing Vistra power plant property and an existing force main that we're going to rehab, and then enters the collection system just upstream of pump station B, and then from pump station B it's pumped to the wharf site. Lift station 3 is located here at Quintana and South Bay. That receives a small area of wastewater that is currently pumped all the way to the existing wastewater treatment plant, or enters the gravity system. It will be replumbed so it pumps directly to the wharf.
Shouldn't there be another arrow out of there up to the wharf, or I guess there's two.
It's right there. It gets combined into that existing force main there.
Okay.
Before you move on, I've got a question on, you were talking about there at Lila Kaiser and the Vistra property, some of the lines and everything will be involved with that. What is our access to that property in perpetuity? What's our agreement with the power company on that property? I remember hearing something where there was talk that they might take back the Lila Kaiser Park at one time.
We have a agreement that has a lease for Lila Kaiser Park. I think it's 50 years. We're on ongoing negotiations regarding that property. The force main and conveyance remaining conveyance system that will go through Vistra and PG&E property, we're in negotiations with them to acquire more easement to there. It'll be permanent easement for the wastewater facilities there. We're also in negotiations with PG&E to, as it goes through the PG&E still owns property back there. So it's about half on PG&E property, half on a Vistra property that we're working on easements with them on. So the Lila Kaiser is on a separate path project, and
right.
Is being negotiated between the Vistra owners and the city manager.
Okay. I was just wondering if any, you know, we talk about 50-year leases and things, but whenever it started and whenever the lifespan of this is, I just wanted to make sure that it's not going to throw a kink into, you know, a few years down the line, throw a kink into any of this.
The easements will be permanent easements. With any right-of-way acquisitions, it's always a kink or a negotiation process as you go through those. So we will be working with our representatives at Vistra to acquire that property.
All right. Thank you.
I had a few questions which popped up as I was going through this.
Anytime. Questions are good.
I think we've gone through most of the for future technical issues, which reviews are you expecting the PWAB to be involved with?
PWAB will be involved in the any change order process that we go through on the wharf site. So, and then reviewing the 30% plans for the injection system. And also likely you will be involved in when we receive the traffic control criteria for construction of the conveyance system along Quintana. So design engineers are working on those. Basically, we're not preparing the traffic control plan. That'll be the when we select a contractor, they'll be preparing that. But we're working with the design engineer on what the limits of what we'll allow for access restrictions along Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard.
Okay. One of the things which I was curious about, I read an article about 5 years ago for RO membranes where they were thinking that the efficiency of those membranes and the lifespan of those membranes would be increased by a factor of about 10 starting, say, in the next couple of years. Has there been any sort of study to see if we'll be able to take advantage of improved performance of the RO membranes?
I know there have been advancements in RO membranes technology, mainly from what I've read out of Australia. They do a lot of desal water, so that's where that technology is really coming out there. And kind of the Middle East, Israel area, they do a lot with membrane technology for reverse osmosis. May have read some of the same articles about increased membrane.
It was just a general report in Science News, but
yeah.
Do you know if the designers included reviews of that on how it might affect future operations?
I don't think we've received submittals on the RO membranes yet from the design team. We're still waiting for that. So
is that something which we'd get a chance to look at?
That is not proposed to be taken to the Public Works Advisory Board.
Okay.
But if you request that information, we can probably provide that.
Yeah, I was just sort of curious to see, apparently a lot of the maintenance costs on this is replacing those membranes. And if we can reduce those costs, it'll improve operation costs.
And I'm trying to recall what our specification is on the life of membranes, and it's something we'll have to bring back to you on.
Okay.
What we're asking for performance guarantees on membrane life is.
Okay. Let's see. Frog study. Is that underway?
I think all the study is complete. Now we're waiting for U.S. Fish and Wildlife to complete the consultation work. So we've asked for an accelerated consultation, or EPA asked for an accelerated consultation because they are the lead agency. U.S. Fish and Wildlife said, we'll try our best. We don't know if we can make the precise date that you requested, but it should be a day or two in one direction or the other. We're getting close to that date right now. It's January 22nd is when we asked for the work to be completed by, so we should know within the next week where we stand on that consultation. As you may recall, last night, council authorized execution of the WIFIA, the EPA's financing documents. So, and we've heard from EPA that they're looking to execute those documents on February 14th. They cannot execute them before the environmental work is done. So I think they anticipate a fairly quick completion of the consultation work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Okay. This Viscera easement you're negotiating, is it going to get tied into the battery storage project at some point?
No, those are two separate issues. Really, you know, land development takes, you know, is a quasi-judicial process through the Planning Commission. We're not tying those two processes together. So there will be no quid pro quo that if you give us easement, we'll approve your project. We can't do that. We're negotiating the easement and working on the battery storage as two separate projects.
And then one of the big issues I was aware of when this first came out was reuse. And so you've done a yeoman job to kind of separate reuse of the PG&E property from the sewage treatment plant. But Is there any thought how development on one is going to affect the development, redevelopment of the treatment plant?
I don't believe the conveyance system will affect the redevelopment of the site. We're already encumbering that area with existing pedestrian and waterline easements. So we're just asking for, mainly what we're asking for is additional workspace to lay down and get the work done. The permanent easement will be not much larger than the existing easement there for the bike path. So that area is already really encumbered with city facilities. The battery storage is in between the power plant and the existing PG&E property, and I know Vistra is looking to market the rest of their property, and I don't know what the status of that is currently.
Okay. The SAFE system, I was looking at the process flow diagram. What's that? I haven't heard of that before.
It's a filtration system that will provide during high flows filtration of wastewater before, and then disinfection before it's discharged to the ocean for those high peaks. And it meets the requirements for secondary treatment. We have worked with the regional board, and they accept that as an alternative process.
What's the filtration material used?
Cloth filters.
Say that again?
Cloth filters.
Cloth? Okay.
Rotating discs, cloth filters. It's Aqua Aerobics is the vendor. It's been used in stormwater applications and for polishing of wastewater after treatment. And then combined systems use this filtration process.
How do you regenerate? Do you regenerate the filter material, or do you dispose of it, or what happens?
Washing and backwashing, basically. And I don't remember what the life is on the...
Five
to 10 years on the cloth fabric, depending
then,
on
then
how
you
much
replace
it gets
it.
Used.
Okay. Was it a canvas or something special?
I'm not sure what the material is.
You know, it's a proprietary fabric, but the best way to describe it, looking at it, it looks like shag carpeting. You know, it's made over in Germany, proprietary, but it looks and feels like shag carpeting.
Okay. Let's see. Is Morro Bay State Park ever going to be pumping into our system?
They are a customer of Morro Bay currently.
So how do they get their treated or waste into the tour system? They pump and
there's a pump station at the near the marina, I believe, is where it is, and it pumps into a gravity main in Main Street.
And okay. Let's see. Okay, so change orders,
traffic control plans.
Was it 30%? The 30% injection
yes.
plan. Those are the primary things that we'll be seeing.
Yeah,
here.
So we'll be bringing those components that are far enough along to basically make sure that we've hit all the right levers and it's designed the way we want it to, but we won't be taking those interim design deliverables that more of a technical review process. So 60-90% plans will be in-house review, and 30% plans are really where we can make the most difference with advisory body input on those plans.
Okay, and then the fee studies, are those all complete for now, or are they will be reopened in a couple of years?
So the rate study was completed and set rates a couple of years ago now. Mm-hmm. But council made a decision to relook at those rates and make any adjustments downward as we move forward on the project. So The next point where we're going to look at that is once we receive bids for the next major component of the system, the conveyance system, and then after signature of the state revolving fund loans, because the rate study assumed conservatively a rate that they were at in the low twos, I believe. Currently, SRF loans are 1.2%, half the state's GO bond rate. So a fairly good reduction in rates, but we won't be probably signing that loan document until the beginning of summer. So those rates don't lock until the state could sell bonds between now and then, and there may be a different rate.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to go back and restart the slide presentation. Excuse me.
This is a Microsoft Windows problem going on here. Gotta love Microsoft.
Go to sleep.
So can I jump in here with a question?
Yeah, Tori has a question.
So just to be say again about the two loans, the SRF and the WIFIA, everything looks still on track with getting those loans.
Yes, like I mentioned, council authorized signature of those, and EPA has informed us they're looking on a sweetheart deal of signing those loans on February 14th, is their words.
Valentine's
Day is when the director wants to sign those loan documents. Maybe symbolic, I don't know.
Good. The other question here is on the potable reuse slide, and why potable reuse? And it's 80% of the city's current water demand, potentially 80% could be satisfied with the full build-out of the new WRF with the various filtration and obviously injection. Is that what they're saying, 80%?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's kind of the efficiency of the WRF with the with the injection, the ground injection, we can replenish. I'm just trying to think of another alternative way of saying the efficiency of the plant.
Because
there's three kind of outputs. Two go into the ocean and one go into the ground, and there's sort of these decisions in filtration points that guide how what water goes to which sink, so to speak, and I'm just trying to kind of understand where at each of these different filtration points, from the RO feed tanks down to the cartridge filters to the some of these reverse osmosis membranes and so on, there's sort of a decision going one way or the other, where is the most efficient? You know, where does most of that 80% come from, if you will say?
So, we'll talk in maybe in round numbers here. So,
yeah.
100 or 1 million gallons a day come into the wastewater treatment plant. If it's operating at capacity with everything running, 800,000 gallons of purified water will leave and go into the groundwater injection system.
Okay. So
where that loss happens is through the RO process. There's a product water that comes out there, but there's also a reject water, because we are pushing that water through very fine pores in membranes, and some of that water with the salts in it won't go through those pores and gets rejected from the membranes. That's kind of the waste product of the reverse osmosis process. Describes it kind of simply. So it's not 100% efficient. We can't squeeze the water that tight that only solids come out of it, only the salts come out of it. We're not quite that good in the industry yet, or probably never will be. So there will be some inefficiencies there. Water will be lost there. There will be times when things will happen at the plant and the water won't be at spec to at the highest quality that we can send to the injection system. Probably during really high flows, we won't be sending water to the groundwater injection system. So that will go out the outfall. That's the other product that will go out the outfall, is that tertiary treated water that doesn't go through the advanced treatment process, that will go out the outfall. Those two processes combined together are the kind of the losses of water in the system. So we can only recover about 80% of our wastewater.
Is that second process the storm flow diversion?
No. The storm flow diversion will not go through the RO process.
Right.
That's for anything above 1.88 MGD. So we have a peak day, highest flow in day statistically is 1.88 MGD. It's a 1 MGD plant. We'll have a peak of 1.88. Anything that exceeds that will go through the safe system and only receive secondary treatment before it's discharged. So between there and our peak hour, which is 8.1 MGD, that flow goes through the safe system. It gets combined with that tertiary water that's coming out of the MBR plant before discharge. Okay. Disinfection, dechlorination, and then discharge.
Okay, so so that diversion, and when you're talking about peak flow, that's typically with heavy rains, right? That's not
heavy rains is the intention of that.
Yeah,
we do.
It's not like heavy usage.
It could be due to heavy usage, but we have a little bit of flexibility in the system. So those peak dry weather days, the water will go through the MBR plant. The peak wet weather days is when it will be using the safe system as an alternative secondary treatment process.
Okay. And are those diversion structures, that's not complicated, is it? Or is it? I mean, what's going on? What's the difference between a diversion structure
and a level weir? So water will rise to a certain level and go one direction or the other.
I see. So that's simple.
That is very simple.
Compared to the other.
Yes, compared to the advanced treatment,
so to speak,
and the electronics that goes along with that.
Right.
And the MBR is a very complex process. It's not something you can turn valves by hand and operate. It requires a computer system to operate that that plant.
All right. Okay.
A couple more questions raised. I remember
to the speaker. Couple more questions were raised by Tori's State Water Project. Originally, when we first were talking about this, we thought we'd get out of it around 2025, and then it was 2035, and now 2040. Is that right?
The contract ends in 2038, is when the State Water main contract ends. 2025 was the date we retire the local facilities bonds. So those are the bonds that were acquired by the county to build the Chorro Valley Pipeline, the Polonio Pass water treatment plant. So those bonds will be retired in about a couple more years, five more years-ish. because they refinance those. I can't remember when the exact maturity date is on those bonds, but it's fairly close. I don't know that we will ever get out of state water, but we need a resilient supply, water supply, because state water is not a uninterruptible water supply.
You've explained in painful detail.
It's not running right now.
Yes, but the reason why I'm asking this, you know, one of the selling points on this originally was that we might be able to get out of the state water project. Now it looks like, do we need to keep some state water project even after 2038?
I would say that we should have multiple water sources for Morro Bay, that we need to have state water, local water supply, to not be entirely reliant on one source of water.
And then I guess the other question which pops into my head is, so there's, you know, operation costs from the county for pumping water to us, I assume. And the state charges us to pump water. But from what I remember you saying was that if this was in place, theoretically, we wouldn't need as much state water, and we might be able to someday sell some of it to municipalities which need the water. Is that still in the
background? That is still in the mix.
Okay. Any progress that way?
There's been some discussion on this. The state water contract subcontractors meetings about who wants more, who wants less state water. It's just all talks right now because DWR holds all the cards, and it's very difficult to negotiate state water. They are writing some new agreements right now that will give water agencies more flexibility to transfer their allocation and not transfer it for a loss on their investment.
Okay. And then at what point would the plant be in full operation? Is everything going to run the first day you turn it on, or are we going to be phasing like the injection?
I don't know whether we'll be phasing injection because we need to prove to the Division of Drinking Water, the State Water Board Division of Drinking Water, that everything works. So we can't produce, we can't get our permit for this indirect potable reuse project till after we've proven it out. So they won't issue a permit based on plans. They're going to want to see that it actually works and provides that treatment that we say it will. So we'll be running everything from day one. Whether we'll be injecting it in the ground from day one, likely not.
Is there any, will there be any savings until injection's kicked in, or is it just going to be the same cost whether we inject or not?
There'll be some energy savings, but not a whole lot of savings. If we choose not to run the IPR system during the prove-out period and we just run the MBR plant to produce tertiary, while we're still, you know, getting the bugs out of the advanced treatment system, there'll be energy savings during that time. But we'll have the construction costs will be fully sunk.
Okay, and then I think Joe said that the labor costs for operating the existing plant compared to the new plant are probably going to be about the same?
Labor costs, energy costs will be significantly higher. We'll probably have to add or there will be a change in the mix of staffing, maybe some more telemetry computer type folks, but we've set ourselves up for that by combining our utilities department into one and using the best of our crew for, you know, they can be moved around to various positions.
Okay. Thank you.
Tori, did you have something else there?
Not at the moment. Thanks.
Okay.
I think I just have a couple more slides that we'll go through. We've touched on the injection, so this slide illustrates where we're talking about the lower Moro Valley subbasin, where that water will kind of live before we pump it out and use it. Like we talked about, offset about 80% of the water demand for the city. We completed the feasibility study to show this model-wise actually works, and we are going to be conducting some follow-on prove-out studies, basically pump testing, to show that it actually to design the injection well system. So the EIR and preliminary design assumed 4 injection wells. It could be as few as 2 injection wells. It could be 4 injection wells, likely somewhere in that range. Also, we want to finalize the injection location, whether it's going to be over here on the east side of the highway or the west side of the highway.
Rob, at one time there was discussion of the injections being up Choro Valley. Is that off the table now?
That is off the table. There was a study done by Cleath and Associates that showed that there is too much water loss out of the Choro Valley aquifer, plus too many other straws in the ground that we couldn't guarantee our recovery.
Okay, thank you.
Feasibility study was completed in 2017. A modeling update to show a kind of a term of art, fate and transport, or how the thank you, Jesse. How the what will happen to the nitrate and the dissolved solids in the existing groundwater as we pump purified water into the system. It showed nitrates dropping down to well below action levels and decreases in dissolved solids in the aquifer. So the model showed that we're basically keeping seawater intrusion from occurring in the aquifer, and also diluting the nitrates from the historic use of high nitrate fertilizer in the upper Moro Basin. The next step in the process is this characterization of the injection sites. So we've completed all the field work on the east side. We need to do the west side now, which involved pump testing of an existing, I'm going to throw out a term that probably nobody besides us two sitting at the table has, Moro Bay Mutual Water Company. There's another water company in Moro Bay, and there's 2 customers for it. It's PG&E and the power plant. They formed a mutual water company prior to incorporation. They have 3 wells there, and we're going to pump one of their wells to do some pump testing on it. It's really kind of a defunct mutual water company now. There's no really need for them anymore. We provide fire protection water for the site, so that was really their purpose in past, was fire protection water and boiler makeup water for the power plant. But they still have some assets out there, 3 wells and some piping, and we're going to use one of those wells for the pump test and hopefully convert it to an injection well in the future. And then we'll be looking at the injection well design criteria following this pump testing. So, like I said, whether it's, 1, 2, or 4 wells, I guess 3, could be 2, 3 also.
Well, you're going to use, is it on the east side or is it on the west side?
It's on the west side. We've completed the work on the east side. We had an existing City of Moro Bay well that we use, that's at the end of Errol Street, well casing, put a pump in there and pumped that. and then installed some piezometers to see how the aquifer reacted to pumping that well, and we'll do the same thing on the west side.
So, was there any problems seen with the Errol Street well, or is it something which you might be able to use?
It's all doable over there. We want to compare that to the west side. The west side modeling showed some advantages in the fate of the nitrate and TDS. It showed better results, modeling results, by injecting over there as opposed to the east side.
Okay. Basically, doing the east side kind of flushes the stuff down into our downstream. Is that the nitrates downstream, or
we saw some reduction in the nitrates by injecting on the east side, but better results on the west side. And I think it's just the aquifer characteristics that caused that to happen. So, like I said, four injection wells. Approximately 1,200, that I think 1,200 is probably on the optimistic side of groundwater could be produced using IPR. That's if we produced IPR water every day. There's going to be some down days where we're not producing IPR water. I'm assuming that everything won't run perfectly all the time. There will be, nothing ever runs perfectly all the time. So,
I have a question back on. I know one of the issues in the Chorro Valley had been the chromium deposits that they're finding around the state, that when you inject purified water into ground basins, that it's mixing when there are, I'm not sure whether it's chromite or chromium. My chemistry isn't that great. Is that a potential issue in the hydrology of the Valley?
I don't remember what the chrome results were on when we tested those wells. Probably need to bring that back to you. I know there are chrome mines in the Moro, old historic chrome mines in the Moro and Chorro areas, so but I don't recall elevated chrome levels in our Moro wells.
Yeah, I think that from the what I remember reading was that it wasn't so much that they were elevated levels, it's just that when the purified water was being added, that somehow interacted.
Yeah, that's something we'll run past our hydrogeologists, and likely you'll have an opportunity to ask them that question.
All right, thank you.
One of the criteria for using IPR water injecting into the ground is you have to guarantee a minimum of 2 months travel time between the point of injection and where you withdraw. Modeling-wise, we show about 4 months travel time, but we need to prove that out through actual pumping of that water to show that the model accurately reflects what the real conditions are. The phase one results, here's a cool graphic showing the Moro Aquifer. Showing the decreased levels of TDS, the darker blue, I believe, that's the TDS levels. It's been a while since I looked at this slide. Really, all this is showing is the kind of the topology of the basin. So the darker blue is the deeper areas of the basin. It's not indicating the nitrate or TDS levels in the basin. There's another graphic from that study that shows that much better. we just didn't include that in this presentation.
Because alluvium elevation is just strictly topographical elevation?
Yes, yes. Under the ground, so the depth of the alluvium, the thickness of the water-bearing soils.
Like the porousness?
More of the thickness, the vertical thickness of that that material that can hold water.
Okay.
And then project status. So this runs through from award of the design contract for the conveyance system a little over 2 years ago to Waterworks Engineers in November. We applied in July of 2013 for the WIFIA financing. We certified the EIR in August of 2018, adopted new sewer water rates in September of 2018, awarded a contract to Black and Veatch Phelan, Phelan's Black and Veatch, in October of 18. We were placed on the fundable list, which very important milestone by the State Water Board in for their Clean Water State Revolving Fund loan process in June of 19. That also included a $5 million grant for because we have reclaimed water as part of our project. Executed the coastal development permit in November of this last year. We executed a programmatic agreement with SHPO. A lot of words there and abbreviations. State Historic Preservation Office regarding the cultural resources, archaeological resources that have the potential to be found during construction. Executed that agreement last month. And last night, the council and the Morro Bay Public Facilities Corporation authorized the execution of the EPA WIFIA loan documents. And I'm not sure if the board presidents and mayor signed those this afternoon, but will be signed in short order and transmitted to EPA.
Curious about SHPO. What sort of historical sites are involved with where we're our project?
There's several. Can't really get into the details on the locations, but several Native American cultural sites along the pipeline route and near the injection well locations that had to be identified. There will be some field work to closer identify the limits of those, and there will be archaeological monitoring with archaeologists and Native American representation during the construction of the various components of the project.
So 100% during 100% archaeologists and Native observers during the conveyance construction?
Yes. And then on the wharf site, only probably during the mass grading of the site. Once you've graded it down and start to backfill, there's really no resources left to be discovered because you've reached the bottom of the site.
I used to bury the Indian sites under 6 feet of dirt when I was doing subdivisions. Irritated the archaeologists, but the Indians liked it.
That is the, I think the goal is site preservation and encapsulation rather than cataloging, discovery and cataloging.
Is NAGPRA involved with what we're doing? Native American grave is basically preservation of Native burial sites.
I think Native American Heritage Council out of Santa Barbara, I know, has been involved in the environmental review process. And then at a state and federal level, they coordinate with the SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office, and we've received the sign-off on those documents.
Impressive.
Coming some upcoming milestones with the project. We need to issue a notice to proceed, which is not on this slide. Issue a notice to proceed for construction at the wharf site. We anticipate doing that shortly after environmental clearance, once EPA gives us the word. Somewhere around the 1st of February, that should happen. The next is the signing of the WIFIA loan documents around the 14th of February. We anticipate awarding a construction contract for the pipeline construction in June of this year. The recycled water facilities will review a 30% design in the following July and award a contract following that in June of 2022 based on our current schedule. There will be some other items that will be coming to the Public Works Advisory Board. Likely next month, you'll see a suite of potential change orders that we've negotiated with the design build contractor for some changes to the project. They'll be coming to you for review and recommendation to council. Like I said, we'll be reviewing the concept traffic control plans for routing this pipeline up Quintana and out to the site off of South Bay Boulevard. And we'll be reviewing the 30% plans for the injection well process, along with periodic updates like I'm doing now. Probably not as deep a dive. We won't start back at, you know, prehistory and walk you forward. We'll just bring updates to this board.
So when's mass grading? When does mass grading start?
Likely shortly after we issue a notice to proceed. So sometime after February 1st, it'll take them a while to get mobilized out there. They need to establish a road onto the site, level off an area for their trailers. I think they have all of their materials and manpower staging waiting to go, at least arranged to go. And they're ready. They want to, actually, they've been wanting to start work since we anticipated issuing a notice to proceed in October. They've been waiting.
How about conveyance facilities? When's that start?
That doesn't start until award a construction contract in June of this year. So shortly after that, we'll start. We will likely stage that and put limits on when Quintana Road can be interrupted to try to avoid the busiest seasons on Quintana Road.
Is electrical work I've been seeing on Quintana kind of a taste of what we can expect to see on there? Or?
So the work that's been happening on Quintana is we have a the design engineer has a potholing contractor out there verifying location of underground utilities so we can get precise locations on the construction plan so we don't get surprised when we go to construction and a water or sewer line isn't where we thought it was because we relied on as-builts.
Or electric?
Or electric, yes. Or gas. We have gas out there also.
Okay.
But likely first order of work on the conveyance system will be the bike path area because that's used a lot back and forth to school. So we'll try to do that during the summertime. then move on to Quintana when it's less busy on Quintana, although, you know, Quintana is one of those streets that is not a so much a tourist-reliant business district, so...
Now, you're going to have about 9,000 of Morro Bay, Morro Bay residents kind of mad at you during that period, I imagine.
Yes, construction projects don't really make anybody really happy, but sometimes they are necessary to do, and there are inconveniences associated with infrastructure.
Thank you.
Any last questions there? Okay. Thank you for the program update. I'll now open to the public if they have any comments on the program update. Anyone in the audience with a question? Okay. Seeing none, I'll close public comment on this item. Next item on the agenda is future agenda items. You've made mention about this. Are there anything besides wharf-related items that you see on the next meeting in February?
You know, we'll provide updates in the director's report for some of the smaller projects, but I think it'll be a major wharf exercise this next meeting.
Okay. Let's see, John.
Budget. When do you think you're going to have a reasonable budget figured out for next year?
We haven't received the budget calendars yet for when expectation. I know that we will be working on mid-year adjustments over the next few weeks to get those to council at the second meeting in February, and they'll be going to CFAC, I think, their February meeting. One project that I know of will take in that budget adjustment is the Cloisters project. I think it'll be premature for the pavement management. That will cycle into the main budget cycle probably near the end of it, because we'll be completing that revision to our pavement management plan just before we start the hearing process for the budget.
So when do we see the main budget for next year?
The main budget for next year?
Mm-hmm.
Typically, those start in March. And in past years, PWAB really hasn't been involved in the budget discussions. We did bring capital projects in the past, but not the operation budget.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with no more questions, I'm assuming that the next meeting will be February 19th, the third Wednesday of February?
Yes, it's still the third Wednesdays of the month, except July, November, and December. Oh, forgot to mention, the next meeting will also contain, the city clerk will be coming to go over the changes to the advisory body handbook and how they affect each individual committee, and next month, and we'll be having our turn with Dana next month.
All right, thank you. With that, I will adjourn the meeting to February 19th. Thank you, everyone.